Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And welcome back, everybody. This is episode 31 of the Announcer Schedule Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Gill, along with Phil DeMott-Mollin from the Twitter handle at Announcer Skeds. And of course, you can rate, review, subscribe. We're on the Sports Media Watch feed, 31 episodes strong, taking a look at all the announcing news, pairings, and big calls from the week that was. And we got a big week coming up as well. Don't forget, as we said, like, rate, review, subscribe, get it out there to your friends. That always helps. You can leave a comment in the comments section. You can always ask questions as well as we continue to go on this journey of looking at all the big games. Even the small games get a lot of mention here and stories as well. Phil, welcome back, man. What's going on?
Nothing much, you know, kind of a bittersweet time when college football comes to a conclusion, and that certainly was interesting how that went down on Monday night, so I know we're going to touch on that. Super wild card weekend coming up on the NFL side of things, and, you know, time to settle in with even more hoops and in hockey as well.
Well, we got the NFL to start things off, so let's kind of start our run down there with the big football weekend. Super wild card weekend. We had week 18 in the books first, though, and let's take a look back at some of the notables from that big week 18.
Yeah, we kind of, you know, obviously forecasted this, that the big story would be the Buffalo Bills coming off the DeMar Hamlin news last week. And, you know, great to see Hamlin's recovery, and obviously how so many people have rallied around different causes and that kind of thing. But what a, you know, situation up there in Buffalo, you know, just the atmosphere, number one, but then, you know, the kickoff return to get things going.
On Pittsburgh and Cleveland, Miami and the Jets were underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield and down the sideline he goes. This is storybook, an opening kickoff return for DeMar Hamlin, and this place is absolutely going wild.
Oh, you just said this is storybook. This is almost fate. I just can't believe what just happened. Josh Allen, the same thing. 6 days removed from this incredible
can't believe it.
Scene that we saw with the Bills player down in Cincinnati, and now...
Oh. an incredible script. You can't make it up.
Right?
It is almost fate.
Like it was going to happen. And you know that wave of emotion. Sometimes it hits. It can go either way. What a start.
Extra point is good. Can you believe it? After all that's happened in these last 6 days, the emotional downs.
All right, that's Jim Nantz, Tony Romo on CBS. It was 3 years and 3 months since their last kickoff return for a touchdown, and there you heard the call in Week 18.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those magical statistical notes in terms of the serendipity of it all. You know, certainly a spiritual moment for many. And kind of interesting how the Nantz and Romo network television call went down with that. You know, we talk a lot about letting it breathe on this show and laying out when there's a big play. You know, certainly that was worthy of that. And I timed it real briefly as we were listening to that again, and Romo let it breathe after Nantz gave his initial call for just over 2 seconds.
Yeah, I think that was the one thing, is that the touchdown, Nantz really nails it, and then Romo jumps right in. I think maybe, I'm not sure how it went down, but maybe Nantz grabbed him and said, hey, let this breathe a little bit, because there was a long breathing period after Romo's expository on what he saw.
Yeah, or maybe Romo realized after the fact that it's time to lay out, and Nantz just laid out from there. You know, we've talked about that a bunch. You know, if there's actually communication up there in the booth, sometimes there is, but, you know, in terms of, you know, grabbing your partner and that kind of thing. But also, you know, once announcers have worked together for, you know, season in, season out and that kind of thing, they know each other, you know, and they certainly have encountered big plays before where laying out, letting it breathe is the move. But, you know, I guess the counter argument would be a moment like this sort of supersedes it so much, where, you know, it might be appropriate for the analyst to jump in quickly just because it is, you know, so such a marvel as far as what happened exactly.
Now let's take a listen to the same play, the same call on the Buffalo Bills radio network.
5 degrees here this afternoon as Folt puts his foot into the ball. It's going to be short. Fielded at the 4 by Hines. Coming straight up the middle to the 20. Cuts it back at the 25. He's got an alley down the right sideline to the 40. 50. Down to the 40. 35. 30. 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown. Naheem Hines. 96 yards. Run as fast as you can. You're not catching Hines. He's your end zone man. Buffalo on the board with the first play from scrimmage.
Are you kidding me, Chris? They showed Josh Allen, his arms on his head on the sideline. Sean McDermott, it appears, has tears rolling down his face. What a tribute to DeMar. This special teams unit, this kickoff return unit, set the tone for what today is going to be, and that's a celebration of number 3, DeMar Hamlin, and they started off just like that, running the opening kickoff 96 yards to the house.
And as you heard the reference to Chris there, Chris Brown filling in for John Murphy, and we have some news there. John Murphy, the longtime voice of the Buffalo Bills, was not in his regular spot for that game.
Yeah, in fact, John Murphy in the news came out, you know, right in the middle of all the Hamlin news, had suffered a stroke a weekend ago and actually missed the Bills-Bengals game when the Hamlin incident happened. And Chris Brown had to fill in for Murphy, and hopefully Murphy's on the rebound as well. John Murphy, the longtime voice of the Bills. And so Chris Brown, you know, not only has to handle that, you know, Monday night game, but also Bills Patriots and, you know, the scene there. And, you know, I'll hand it to these two, Chris Brown and Eric Wood. You know, when a moment is that electric, when there's that much emotion in the building as well, it's tough to kind of get it right and, you know, show your emotion, but at the same time, do the professional part of the job as far as calling the action and that kind of thing and painting the picture for the listeners at home. And I think these two did a great job. The thing that comes to mind is I was in Marlins Park at the press box the game after Jose Fernandez died tragically. And, you know, there was a leadoff home run in that one that was just a mind blower as well. And, you know, all of us in the press box doing our respective jobs were having a hard time just containing ourselves, not being on the air and just kind of making sure we stay focused and kept track of things on our end. I can only imagine the situation for the announcers that evening. And, you know, I remember talking to some of them and how, you know, challenging it was. And, you know, kind of similar situation here, you know, where the whole, you know, it's almost tangible, you know, the emotion that's in the air and that, you know, sort of the vibe that's radiating from the stadium there. And Brown and Wood, you know, I think really did a great job with that call. And, you know, I didn't listen to their entire broadcast naturally, but I would imagine they did a good job throughout the game as well. And, you know, a hat tip to Chris Brown and Eric Wood.
There you go. So that was the Bills Radio Network on the call. And then let's get one more Week 18 note that came into play here as we saw J.J. Watt walk off the field for the final time as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. And it was a pretty touching moment for him as well, who finished out as announced his retirement from football and this presumably his final game.
Getting a standing ovation here. Walking.
Yeah, this is nice from this 49er crowd. He said, I'll try not to make it emotional. He said, it'll probably hit me, you know, when I'm away and I'm supposed to be back out there playing. But there wasn't any doubt in his decision that this was the time.
And that's Chris Myers on Fox, as you heard there. Just, you know, a moment for Watt, who, you know, probably tired with some gas left in the tank.
Yeah, and, you know, I enjoy Chris Myers, especially in spots like this. You know, he's such a professional. He's kind of a newsman also, a great, you know, host, a great interviewer, you know, does the play-by-play work as well. And, you know, I think he paints pictures, you know, and you know, gives just the right amount of gravity in moments like these. And, you know, he's been working all season long, mostly with Robert Smith as his analyst.
All right. We had the Sunday night game as well. We saw Aaron Rodgers and some post-game work with Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth. Of course, the final Sunday night broadcast, those guys will be paired on a playoff game coming up, but that was the last Sunday night regular season game.
Yeah, that was an interesting game because of all the implications and how it kind of went down. And then, you know, just again, sort of painting the picture and letting the director do the work and following the lead of the pictures, you know, those Aaron Rodgers scenes as far as him leaving the venue at Lambeau Field and, you know, kind of that whole vibe. I thought Tirico and Collinsworth and that gang at NBC did a good job painting that picture as well.
All right. Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll hear from those guys again, but let's take a look at who gets these prestigious calls for Super Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah. It begins Saturday, you know, 4:35 PM Eastern time, kickoff 1:35 Eastern or Pacific time out there on the West Coast in Santa Clara. Joe Davis, Daryl Johnston, Pam Oliver and Christina Pink. So two sideline reporters, no surprise there, you know, for this playoff game. And then Joe Davis and Daryl Johnston, you know, get the call as far as that number two Fox team. And then that night on Saturday night at 8:15 Eastern is the second NBC game. And if you remember, Al Michaels, we covered this last summer, you know, was named to this emeritus role with NBC. Well, we finally, you know, get to see him back on the NBC side of things. Tony Dungy will be his analyst for this. And then Kaylee Hartung on the sidelines, you know, who had been doing Amazon Prime work this season, her return to sports broadcasting alongside Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. So Hartung will be the reporter for that. Sunday, 1 o'clock is the AFC wildcard game, Dolphins at Bills. That's Nance Romo and Wolfson. And then 4:40 p.m. Up in Minnesota, Giants at Vikings. 4:40 Eastern time, Burkhardt, Olsen, Andrews, Rinaldi, the number one Fox team. And then third game of a triple header on Sunday, Ravens, Bengals. That's the NBC Sunday night game, Tirico, Collinsworth, Melissa Stark. So business as usual there, even though, of course, it's a playoff game. And then Monday night, Buck Aikman, Salters, ESPN also simulcast on ABC, and then there's a Manning cast on ESPN2 for the Cowboys Buccaneers on Monday night.
And you take a look at the radio. Westwood One has that feed for all the radio listeners. Bill Rozinski, James Lofton, Amber Theo Harris. We'll do that first wild card game, 4:35. The second one at night will be Ian Eagle, Jason McCourty, and Max Starks. I don't know that Max has done a lot of sideline work. You know, he works a lot with Mike Cousins on ESPN radio, not right? Don't we see Max do a lot of that?
Yeah, you're exactly right, mainly in that analyst role. So this might be the first time he's been down there on the sidelines. I'm sure, you know, maybe he's done it in some form, but to my knowledge, this is the first we've seen that. He did a lot of the college games with Cousins on the
right.
Saturday ESPN radio side of things.
All right, so he's doing some ESPN and some Westwood One stuff. Tom McCarthy, Ross Tucker, Aditi Kinkhabwala is the analyst on that. What game is that? The Bills and Dolphins. Kevin Harlan, Mike Mayock is back in the analyst role. Scott Kaplan on the sideline for the Giants and the Vikings. You got the Sunday night game, Ryan Ratke, Mike Golick, and Ryan Harris on the sideline. And then a friend of the pod, Kevin Kugler, Kurt Warner, and Laura Oakman are doing the Sunday night game. And there you go. So Westwood One has their teams put out there as well on the radio. So, you know, obviously we're getting into wild card weekend, so you're getting the top pairings down the stretch here for the first. And then obviously next weekend, some of these pairings will even get smaller because of the fact that there's going to be less and less games. So good stuff on who we've got this weekend.
Yeah. And Mike, on the radio side, I mean, what a testament to Westwood One's depth as far as the announcers who they have, deals with and who are part of their, stable. I mean, we're going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games deep, and, it's Westwood One, doesn't even flinch. They're able to fill all these spots.
Well, it helps, some of the TV guys are knocked out. They get Harlan, they get Ian Eagle, who are two of the top, CBS pairings. I guess Ian Eagle would be that number two CBS guy. You know, CBS only has one wild card game, correct?
Correct. So that's part of the formula there. Tom McCarthy, who we see on TV work also. And Kevin Kugler,
Kevin Harlan, by the way,
Fox game. Yeah. And then Kevin Harlan on the CBS side of things. So, right. Yeah, it all kind of adds up to more of these announcers getting opportunities, even though their TV network might not have a deal this weekend or a second or third game. But even on the analyst side of things, James Lofton, who we see on network TV week in, week out. Ross Tucker, we've talked about him a lot on the program. Mike Mayock, Golick, Kurt Warner. Yeah, it's a solid group and great reporters as well.
Let's look a couple of weeks ago. We talked about analysts and their positions, and you broke down what analysts and what positions they played.
Yeah, we talked about this a while back because, it was brought up, just how much do quarterbacks dominate that analyst role, which is sort of like the traditional position that evolves into broadcaster. You would mention, defensive backs as something that might have been that you like hearing from. And so what we did was we broke down this week 18, this past week's announcer pairings, and we also added the Amazon package for good measure. And the way it shook out was as follows. Five of the analysts are quarterbacks. That's six if you add Herbstreit, the Amazon analyst. Aikman, Trent Green, Dan Orlovsky, Tony Romo, Mark Sanchez, and Kirk Herbstreit. So six quarterbacks, three defensive backs, Adam Archuleta, Charles Davis, and Lewis Riddick, two wide receivers, Collinsworth and Lofton, two running backs / fullbacks, Robert Smith and Darryl Johnston, and two linebackers, Matt Millen, who wasn't part of a regular package, but did get work this week 18 with Jason Benetti, him and Jonathan Vilma representing that linebacker position. And then just one tight end, Greg Olson, one offensive lineman, Mark Schlereth, and one kicker, Jay Feely. No defensive lineman in this group. You know, that's worth noting. And yeah, kind of as expected, you know, the quarterback position still sort of dominates that analyst role, but just wanted to kind of break it out and look at, you know, a little bit of data, you know, because that was a good discussion we had before as far as, you know, what these backgrounds of these analysts might bring to sort of the X's and O's side as well while you're watching a game.
Well, on that note, it'll be interesting coming up. One of the stories we'll be keeping an eye on is Sean McVay and whether or not he, as a coach, will become an analyst. And, you know, that was a big topic last offseason. Now it's gaining even more steam. The question will be, where would he fit in? You know, the analyst job that he was going to get, the Amazon job, that has been filled. We know Fox and ESPN and CBS, all their top spots are filled. So Sean McVay should be interesting to see if he does leave coaching. Is he going to be a game analyst, or will he have to sit on the desk for a little while? That'll be something that we'll be keeping an eye on.
Yeah, and that's an interesting point, too, because, you know, again, like, we made this list here based on NFL Week 18 pairings plus the Amazon package, and there wasn't a coach who called a game in the analyst role last week. I mean, there's plenty in the studio and that kind of thing. Tony Dungy will be calling a game this weekend with Al Michaels as part of that second NBC crew, but you sort of assume that, hey, plenty of coaches are moving into broadcasting and into these analyst roles and that kind of thing. But it's kind of interesting, at least on the NFL television side, how it's been dominated by former players and not coaches.
All right, let's go to the college football championship, because it was a dud of a game. But what about the broadcast? They treated this like it was the biggest thing going. And obviously the game did not lead up to the hype, but ESPN owned the game. How did they do? What did we see from their coverage?
Well, tough situation, obviously, when a game gets this out of reach this quickly, and certainly the ratings are being documented by, you know, John Lewis and Sports Media Watch, and you know, I'm sure John and TJ had plenty to say about this week as far as the ratings implications. You know, it is a big deal. You know, the College Football National Championship, it's one of the highest rated sporting events year in, year out, you know, and not to mention just television shows in general. So, you know, obviously ESPN pours a lot of resources into it. You know, the megacast, which has been going on for a few years, and all these things. You know, I tuned in a bit to the ESPN radio coverage once again. I like how they overlay on that Alt 22 feed. And just altogether, you know, the story, unfortunately, for the television and radio partner side of things, became the blowout, you know, and folks were turning the channel and so forth, I would imagine. I usually stay up to probably 1 or 2 a.m. the night of the college football championship, because I love college football. It's probably my favorite sport to watch and settle in with. It's always a bittersweet night for me because it's the last chance to kind of soak it all in. And then plus, you know, I'm following all the coverage following the game as far as, you know, the crowning of the national champion and the post-game press conferences and all these things. That is my norm. This time I fell asleep before the fourth quarter started. So that kind of sums it up, I think, as far as my personal experience in how this went. And I'm sure plenty of other people were in the same boat. You know, you kind of feel for folks who have to, you know, either spin this thing or, you know, somehow make it work. But, you know, I think ESPN did the best they could as far as, you know, continuing that, you know, obviously the broadcast, you change your style just a little bit, you know, obviously in a blowout situation. But yeah, you know, the storyline certainly became this thing's a blowout.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you don't get a good game. It's 40-something to 7 right around halftime. Georgia's laying it on. I mean, they are not pulling off the dog, calling off the dogs by any stretch of the imagination there. They just kept on going and going and going, which gave me a chance to kind of flip around. I went to the McAfee feed, and I will say, I am a big fan of McAfee. I am a West Virginia guy. He went to WVU. I think he's extremely talented. I really enjoy his work. I do question whether he is becoming a little overused. And you're just like, he's doing his show on the sideline of this game now. I mean, basically it's him and it's A.J. Hawk and the rest of his radio or stream show. And they're on the sideline, which is a cool concept. But it's like I see this show every day. I just wonder if he's getting a little bit overexposed. That's all. I like McAfee. I think it's an amazing story. I think he's an unbelievable talent. But even the most talented of talented people sometimes get a little overexposed where you have to kind of say, why am I excited about seeing this show? It's because I don't see it all the time everywhere, and I'm just cautious about that. With what he's doing. It was an Omaha production thing. So I guess, you know, they had to find someone that would excel in that role. And he certainly excelled. I don't think he did a bad job. He's entertaining. But in a game like that, I'm thinking to myself, man, it's 65-7. And here's Pat McAfee on the sideline doing his show, which, you know, is on every single day. I mean, again, this isn't a criticism of him. It just, I hope he's not getting a little overexposed.
No, it's a fair point. I mean, honestly, he's not really my cup of tea as far as his talk show and that kind of thing. I've checked it out here and there, but I'm not certainly a regular viewer of that kind of thing.
Do you like him on game day?
Yeah, yes and no. Okay. You know, I'm kind of more of a traditionalist. So yeah, once things get a little wacky and loud and that kind of thing,
I like him on game day because he's different, but he's not so different. Like I feel like, I mean, this is a guy who was a punter, you know, it's not like you're like, hey, this is a guy had some Hall of Fame running back, quarterback, you know, career. But he is very smart and prepared. Like, he doesn't come in there just winging it. He is a prepared guy. You can tell that he does his homework, that he doesn't want to be exposed on that level as a guy who's just there for, you know, to be, you know, joking around. He knows his stuff, so I give him a lot of credit for that. I think he worked for that show, and I think he's good on his show. I just wonder if he's becoming a little overexposed. Like, he does the wrestling. I don't know if you've ever seen him do SmackDown. He's very good at that for a guy who does not have a wrestling background. That's not an easy job. I mean, right? I mean, that is not an easy gig.
That fits his personality, that venue, for sure.
Yeah. Well, his over-the-topness. It just sometimes the over-the-topness. Like, my buddy, we text all the time. He lives on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. He liked Mackey. This guy's great. He's funny. But well, now he's giving me the text messages. Too much McAfee. Too much McAfee. And I said to him, I agree. And I'm a fan of McAfee. So I'm not someone who's saying, his act is. I like McAfee. I just hope they don't overuse him. And I hope he manages that himself to say, you know what? I'm going to pick and choose my spots. Because he does a show every day. This isn't a guy who's not on every day. He's on and available every day for the people who want to find him. It's the other things that I think he kind of, and I think the College Game Day works for him. So that's something I think he should stick with and be that guy. But it's the other things that you're just kind of like, is it too much McAfee?
That's yeah. All. No, it makes a lot of sense, Mike. Good points there. And, you know, with that megacast, worth mentioning also that, you know, they didn't have the coaches film room this year. And
yeah.
I spent a lot of time with that these last couple seasons, you know, where you would, you know, be watching the game with a group of coaches, basically, you know, at a conference table and really hearing them break down the X's and O's. I thought that was a cool offering in the past. But, you know, for whatever reason, they didn't go that route and seemed to have really kind of focused on the McAfee, channel as far as the alternate, number one option after the main feed.
And I did watch a little of the 5G, whatever that was. That didn't catch me very long. Yeah, I'm a game traditionalist. I like listening to the game. In fact, this year I have not watched a lot of the Manning cast. In fact, I can't say I didn't watch a lot. I watch no Manning cast this year. Last year I was pretty much strictly Manning cast. This year, no Manning cast. I watched no Manning cast this year. It was all Buck and Aikman. And maybe that has something to do with it, of who's calling the game. But yes, college football's mega cast, and you can let us know what you watched and what you enjoyed. We did have a listener question on this topic from James in Lincoln, Nebraska. Enjoy Matt Rule there, James. He says, does the producer have a contingency for a game like the national championship, such as more sideline stories, more backstories, or does the announcer and an analyst kind of wing it when it's a blowout? Do they kind of steer that ship of when they want to go off topic?
100% there's a contingency plan. In fact, there's even more than a contingency plan, you know, not every time, you know, at least on the network television level. You know, it's often kind of stated that, you know, producers prepare all sorts of material for a given game, as do announcers. And a very small percentage of all the work you put in prep actually makes on air, that, you know, you've got more than enough, you know, to go to when it comes to packages, graphics, storylines, backstories, all these things. And that filler material, that blowout material, is usually abundant. Now, the producer, his role kind of, you know, gets that much more critical in moments like this, because he's sort of steering the ship in a lot of ways. And so what he'll do is, or he or she will do is like, hey, you know, let's, you know, out of this break, let's go to, you know, next season's way too early top 25 poll. And let's look into that. Or, you know, after this break, let's look at, you know, first year coaches and how they worked out in college football. So you look at some big picture type stuff, you know, you could have prepared. But, you know, there's an abundance of graphics, of packages, of stories that never, ever get used on any given broadcast and end up just, you know, sitting in the can, if a game is competitive. But when there's a blowout like this and filler materials needed, there's the opportunity to go to all those storylines. And, you'll notice the play-by-play announcer sort of eases off on, how diligent he is in terms of calling each play. So you're not giving maybe as much detail or as much urgency or as much excitement on any given play when a game's out of reach like this. But, of course, you're keeping an eye on things and weaving that in. But it gets to the point where, sometimes it becomes a little more conversational and you're doing play-by-play at the same time while having a conversation with your analyst.
Good question, James. We appreciate questions as always. Don't forget, rate, review, subscribe, leave comments, like, share, get it out there. More people listening, the longer, more episodes. We're at episode 31, so you guys have been doing a good job. But it's always nice to keep getting it out there. We're on the Sports Media Watch feed. TJ and John, of course, you hear Wednesday. George Offman, Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. That drops on Tuesdays. Really good interviews from George and TJ and John. Go over a lot of the ratings. We look at more of the announcers. Let's look at the announcers NBA, because now the NBA is going to be taking some center stage with college football over college basketball. I'm a big college basketball guy, but the NBA too is going to start getting a lot more national attention.
Yeah, we're taping this show on Wednesday, and if you're listening on Wednesday tonight, you've got some good opportunities on ESPN at 7:30. Bucks at Hawks in Atlanta. Mike Breen is working alongside Hubie Brown. So talking about a couple of all-timers there, Mike Breen on the play-by-play, Hubie Brown as the analyst, and Katie George, who's a name that, we've mentioned a bunch in terms of college football reporter duties and has done a lot of work in college sports. This will be her national television NBA debut as a sideline reporter, working an NBA game nationally. And Katie had done some work with the Milwaukee Bucks a couple seasons ago, as their sideline reporter. So she certainly understands, the NBA environment, but a cool opportunity for her. And just wanted to mention that note that she'll be making her national TV debut tonight for an NBA game. And then Suns at Denver on ESPN, also late Wednesday night. That's Mark Jones, Mark Jackson, and George Sedano. There's a couple games on Friday, including a Ryan Rucco, J.J. Redick game, Warriors and Spurs. Dave Pasch is in action on late night Friday night with Richard Jefferson and Malika Andrews on the Nuggets Clippers. And then there's a rare Saturday afternoon game, 1 o'clock on ABC, Bucks at the Miami Heat, and then that'll be that number one team of Breen, Van Gundy, Jackson, and Salters. There's a point this time of year where ABC starts doing those Saturday night NBA games, but this is interesting, whereby the tip-off is 1 p.m. Eastern on ABC on Saturday, Bucks and Heat.
Yeah, and by the way, Lisa Salter is a part of that. We talked about how good of a job she did during that Hamlin thing. I'm interested to see the role of the sideline reporter moving forward here, if networks and cable outlets continue to put more, invest more into that job, seeing how important she was in something like that. Now, you can't plan for that always, but, people I don't think realize the role of that sideline reporter sometimes is even on the air. They might be down on the sideline talking to the truck to give information to the people up top, so they're the eyes and ears on the field, and maybe they don't even come onto the field. Everybody says, this sideline reporter is frivolous. I think the sideline reporters are a very undervalued part of the broadcast, but I also think that these networks could do a much better job of utilizing them. I think they can offer so much more than what they allow them to do. And hopefully that job continues to evolve, because there's so many men and women who do great work down there that don't get noticed a lot.
Yeah, I think it's an important role as well. I know John and TJ have talked about TJ Reeves, by the way, our partner on the the podcast network here, you know, as longtime sideline reporter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He'll have a playoff game this weekend as well. And you're right. Like, I mean, critical information, the eyes and ears as far as down there, you know, next to the action. And certainly, you know, if something major happens in terms of injury or that kind of thing, to have, you know, boots on the ground down there is huge. And you're right. You know, there a lot of network shows, sometimes they barely even go to the sideline reporter. And I know sometimes, you know, producers or the truck might get kind of swept away, especially in a super competitive game, as far as the game action goes. Other times, you know, they might be trying to cram in too many, you know, graphics and packages, you know, that are pre-produced and in that kind of thing. So there are games that, you know, it's almost like, you know, hey, there's a sideline reporter down there. what happened to she or he? But, you know, it's an interesting discussion and an interesting philosophy. There's also this role, we talked about it a little bit on past shows, of field analyst, you know, that you see sometimes, you know, where, you know, you've got, you know, basically someone doing the job of analyst, but also on the field. And, you know, kind of oftentimes sort of like an open mic situation. Yeah. You know, we talked about the late Tony Siragusa. He sort of invented that role in a lot of ways. And then especially on the college side, you know, they do it here and there. But, you know, that's kind of an interesting dynamic as well. But you wonder sometimes, at least I do, you know, does the field analysts, you know, are they, you know, if they're asked also to do sort of like the traditional reporter duties, are they able to do both? You know, because, you know, the field analyst is sitting there watching the game and commenting on what he's seeing, just like as if he was up in the booth as a third analyst. But while a sideline reporter is doing that reporting work, you know, going from sideline to sideline, trying to get information, trying to, you know, relay that back, like you said, to the truck or up to the booth and so forth, and sometimes on air, not to mention the interviews, you know, with the coaches or the star players, you know,
well,
that kind of thing.
One sport we see that a lot in, Phil, is hockey, where they do have that analyst between the glass there that gives you that on ice perspective. I think hockey, you know, does a good job by adding that person down on the ice. They tried to do it. You mentioned Siragusa. No one else has really replicated what he did, kind of just hanging out in the end zone. And, you know, they did it with the Booger Mobile, but that really flopped. You know, they didn't really – I think they could have done a much better job. I think the fact that he was on this Booger Mobile really overshadowed what that position could have been. You know, it became this – the Booger Mobile more than – hey, there's a guy down on the field that's giving us insight from a different angle and a different view, and I think there's a way to incorporate that a little bit better into the broadcast. But hockey does it well.
Yeah, they do with that ice level analyst role. And, you know, you're right. You know, like, you know, there isn't really an example on the NFL side of things, you know, other than, you know, from my memory, at least thinking back to Siragusa. On the college side, there is, you know, packages that use that field analyst. And, you know, in each of these cases, the field analyst kind of doubles as also the sideline reporter. So they'll be doing the post game interview and, you know, halftime interview, injury reports and that kind of thing as well. Tom Luganville, you know, is one of the guys in that role of a field analyst, and also Cole Kubelik, you know, doing a lot of work with the SEC network. Todd McShay, they used him in that role as well, you know, quite a bit this year on that Sean McDonough, Todd Blackledge package. And the way that worked is, you know, Molly McGrath was part of that package as well as the sideline reporter. She actually worked the national championship game as well with Holly Rowe on one of the sidelines. But McGrath would handle the sideline reporter duties, you know, injury reports, interviews, that kind of thing. McShay was down there as more of a field analyst, and they used McShay a lot as sort of a draft analyst as well. So he would bring in, you know, obviously that's his expertise, you know, some of that information also as he's watching the action. So it's an interesting discussion as far as, you know, how to best utilize, you know, your your talent down there on the sidelines.
All right, speaking of hockey, let's take a look at some of the pairings that we're going to get on the national games. We're recording on Wednesday, a couple games on TNT, and then Thursday, Friday, of course, you got ESPN, and ESPN Plus always has a plethora of offerings.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, the day of our taping of the show, couple offerings on TNT this evening. Kenny Albert, you know, who's been all over the place as usual. He'll be on the Predators Maple Leafs game with Eddie Olczyk and Keith Jones, you know, on that ice level analyst role, as you mentioned. Sharks and Kings is the late night game on TNT. Brendan Burke, Darren Pang, and Jackie Redmond reporting. Thursday, you've got an ESPN game with Bob Wischusen, Ray Ferraro, and Emily Kaplan round out that team. And then our buddy Roxy Bernstein, once again, will get a Hulu ESPN Plus game on Friday, New Jersey and Anaheim.
All right, there's your NHL. We got college hoops all over the place. And we had a debut the other night. I was watching this debut, actually.
Yeah, Corey Alexander, who has been around as an analyst, you know, the former a University of Virginia star, you know, he's done all sorts of analyst work, you know, with all sorts of partners, has done, you know, ESPN radio work as well. Well, he debuted as a play-by-play man. You know, he actually, you know, I don't know, you know, what his aspirations are, you know, if this is something he wants to do full time or not, but bottom line is he was on play-by-play this past week, along with Randolph Childress, former star of Wake Forest. And actually, Wake was involved in that game, Wake at UNC on ACC Network. So Corey Alexander trying his hand at play-by-play. And he'll be back this week as well, you know, doing another ACC Network game with Childress. So kind of cool to see guys sort of spreading their wings and trying different skill sets and that kind of thing. So all the best to Corey Alexander as he, you know, works on this ACC Network play-by-play side of things. You know, there's also another ACC Network game with a team that I really enjoy, Wes Durham and Dan Bonner, two veterans of the business. They'll be on again on ACC Network. There's been plenty of opportunities to catch them, which has been cool.
And then there's Robbie Hummel, who had an interesting story this past Sunday.
Robbie Hummel did a double with the Big Ten Network. He's an analyst who, you know, you see on other networks as well. He did a game in Piscataway, New Jersey, the Iowa at Rutgers game. Wayne Randazzo was his play-by-play man for that. That was a noon tip-off in Piscataway. And then he, you know, by car traveled to the Palestra in Philadelphia, where he did the Penn State Purdue game with Brandon Gaudin and Andy Katz. So 12 p.m. tip-off in Piscataway, 6 p.m. at the historic Palestra in Philadelphia. Mike, you know this area. This is your backyard. You know what that commute might look like. You know, it seems like he pulled it all off. It's kind of cool to follow, you know, that those sorts of travels. Obviously a big opportunity also to work in the Palestra, you know, one of the meccas of college hoops. But what were your thoughts when you saw that sort of itinerary up in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, you know, depending on the traffic, you know, going from Rutgers to the Palestra, I mean, it's not that long of a drive, but on a Sunday, I would imagine the traffic not all that bad. Now, what was the gap in between the games?
The Rutgers game tipped off at noon, and the Penn State Purdue game at the Palestra tipped off at 6 p.m.
So he had plenty of time to get there. I mean, the big thing would be parking around the Palestra. I'm wondering where he found a spot to park to get in there and get himself ready. But now there's plenty of time to go from Rutgers Newark down to Philadelphia. It's probably about an hour and 45-minute ride, I would guess. In the car, just so the game was at noon, got done around 2, gets out of Rutgers, you get in the car for 2 more hours, you're probably around 4 or 5. I mean, you're kind of close.
You know? Yeah, a little behind the curtain thing, as you mentioned, the parking, you know, when there's a network TV game and there's a production truck on site, they'll often save a couple spots literally right next to the truck where no one else can park. In fact, it's almost like impossible to in some cases, like weave a car through the, you know, stanchions and traffic and everything to get there. But if the preparation is made correctly with the operations folks, there'll be a spot saved for, you know, Robbie Hummel in this case, literally wherever that production truck is. They'll squeeze him in there right next to that truck. So he won't have to worry about that and be able to just scoot right into the arena there. But, you know, kind of a cool story, as you know, something we do a lot here as far as talk about announcer travel and logistics and all that.
Yeah. And by the way, the Palestra, as you mentioned, just a historic venue, one of those great college basketball places. If you've never been to a game at the Palestra, it is definitely something that you would want to check out. My buddy went to the game, it was Penn State Purdue, and the one thing that he told me, he asked, I said, all I can tell you is this. He said, where should I sit? I said, there's no good or bad place to sit, but what I will tell you is it is hot in there, and try to find the bathroom because there's only one in the building.
Wow.
You're going to want to try to find and sit where the bathroom is because the lines are long and it is hot in that place.
I mean, it's kind of on my bucket list as far as, you know, sporting venues in the United States that I haven't seen yet that I'd like to, but you might have just kind of, you know, scared me out.
Oh,
of
it. No. You got to go to a game at the Palestra. It is not a bad seat in the house. It's just really hot in there. And, you know, the place was set up about 100 years ago, so they only have one bathroom, and they got, like, troughs in there. Like, everybody's just kind of lined up against the wall, you know, to use the bathroom. So it is
part of the charm.
That is part of the charm, absolutely. Phil, a couple of notes before we get out of here. You've got some work this weekend.
Yeah, I'm actually, if you want to tune in to ESPNU tomorrow night, Thursday night, on the ESPNU, Matt Schick and Paul Biancardi on the call for UNC Asheville versus Longwood college hoops action up here in Western North Carolina. So I'll be handling talent stats on that one. So looking forward to that opportunity. And, you know, it'll be my first time working with those two announcers. So looking forward to that. And yeah, you know, plenty of opportunities this weekend to tune into college hoops.
Yeah, always good stuff. I called four games last weekend. There's a big tournament here. It is called the Siegel Classic. It was an 18-game tournament, and I had four calls back-to-back on Saturday and back-to-back on Sunday. And you talk about Robbie Hummel. He did two games in a day. He had a little separation. I got no separation, Phil. I had to do both games back-to-back. And let me tell you, the preparation for a high school game, not quite the same for a Division I college basketball game, of the information that you get on players and background on teams and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've worked behind the scenes on some high school football games, and it's a challenge for an announcer or for a producer, because a lot of times, you know, like you said, just, you know, the information isn't available. Just getting things, the basics, you know, names and uniform numbers, you know, correct, it can be a challenge with some of these outfits. So, you know, if you're listening and you're involved with any sort of high school athletic department, you know, whatever you can do to kind of create the equivalent to a sports information director is really going to help as far as the exposure in the overall product that, you know, the announcers are going to be able to, you know, provide for your team.
I'll give you, I am literally picking a complete random clip in this game. I have no idea what is going on here, Phil, but I'll give the people just a brief, should I give them a little clip of my play-by-play from Sunday?
Sure, let's do it.
All right.
What a tap there by Jamie Tyson.
That great court awareness to even make that play.
Anthony in the corner, leaves it for Clark. Clark spins. Now
three
he took
seconds
steps.
Or
he took
walking
steps.
Yeah, one or the other.
49-42, Mustangs lead about halfway through this fourth quarter.
Elizabeth's going to up the defensive pressure right now, try to force Mainland into turnovers, try to speed him up. What Mainland has to do is slow down.
Bordilli crosses the timeline. Belt high dribble, working one-on-one in a man-to-man defense. Traveling drab step. hits the elbow, then spins back out.
And the double dribble right there, you know.
All right, so there you go. I just picked a complete random clip. I had no idea where it was in the action. That's Mike McGarry, the longtime Press of Atlantic City High School beat writer, who's calling that game with me on, I think that game was on Sunday afternoon. It was Mainland against Elizabeth at the Siegel Classic, which is a longtime high school basketball showcase tournament in our area. It was 18 games in all.
Huh. If you had the high school newspaper beat writer as your analyst, that had to help some on the information gathering.
Yeah,
side,
he's
correct?
Very good at knowing, you know, the ins and outs of the teams and some of the players. Now, one of the problems is some of these teams that come down here are not from the area. They are showcase teams that come down here to play. So we don't know these teams all that well. They're coming from North Jersey or out of the state. So we're trying to get as much information as we can, but you really only have like 15 minutes in between that game, you know, to get information on some of these teams. So it does make it tough. By the way, BFA Sports is where you can check out some of that work. They do a lot of live high school, college. I might have a college game this weekend for them. I got to check my schedule. But there you go. So, all right, some news and notes and nuggets before we get out of here in Major League Baseball. Phil, what do we got?
Yeah, Wayne Randazzo last week was named the play-by-play announcer of the Angels. We actually already spoke about Wayne a little bit on this show. You know, he did that Big Ten Network game with Robbie in Rutgers. But Wayne Randazzo, who's been part of the Mets broadcast team, working as one of their radio announcers these past four seasons. He also filled in for a couple of Apple TV Plus games this past year. So that may have been significant in terms of him, you know, continuing to build his resume and setting him up for this big opportunity, as he is now the television play-by-play primary announcer for the Angels. Mark Gubix will be his analyst. Mark returns for his 17th season, and still waiting for news out of St. Louis in terms of the Cardinals vacancy in terms of their TV play-by-play announcer. That's an opening after the departure of Dan McLaughlin. There's been some reporting done that guys like Joe Buck and Bob Costas, both who obviously have big, big ties to the St. Louis market and the Cardinals, have declined the opportunity. So we'll see, you know, who gets that job. Certainly sort of a legacy job in terms of the Cardinals play-by-play role.
All right, there you go. As the Cardinals, Greg Amsinger from MLB Network, there was some talk about him taking that job. I think he has declined the job as well. So there's a big job there. The St. Louis Cardinals play-by-play gig is up. If you know anybody who's interested, let them know. All right. All right. That'll do it for episode 31 of the Announcer Schedules podcast. I think that's everything. Is there anything that we didn't get on? Is there anything we want to add before we get out of here today?
Well, we touched on a lot, and just kind of maybe on a little bit of a lighter note. You know, I was able to gather up what the counter programming was for the college football playoff championship on Monday night. And, you know, this has been kind of an annual exercise of mine, you know, basically looking at the other sports channels and what they might be showing opposite of a big sporting event like the college football playoff or the Super Bowl. And the list is kind of interesting and obviously a little different this year, where people actually might have been turning the channel and going to these, you know, different spots to watch some of this stuff because of the blowout nature of the game. CBS Sports Network in the 9 o'clock hour opposite of the college football championship had the Dubai Sail Grand Prix. So sailing was on the CBS Sports Network. NASCAR had a Best of Radioactive, you know, kind of highlight show from this past year on FS1. Mexico Primera Soccer, there was action on FS2. There was a replay of the Rams Seahawks NFL game from the weekend. Kevin Kugler was on the call of that on the NFL Network. MLB Network had episodes of the baseball documentary by the great Ken Burns, if you wanted to settle in with some baseball history. Golf Channel had a replay of the tournament that was played in Hawaii this past weekend. USA had WWE Monday Night Raw. They may have benefited from a ratings perspective. And then TNT had the movie Aquaman on opposite the college football playoff. So those were your offerings in case you just couldn't handle any more of a blowout situation with the Bulldogs hurting on the Horned Frogs.
I know I was looking for a Monday night football game, and I would have taken Carolina and the Saints at that point.
Yeah, interesting. And I saw a tweet of yours as far as the Sixers game, rivaling TCU Georgia in terms of the blowout nature last night.
Yes, it was like 40 points. The Sixers still had their starters in. I was like, my God, this is throw in the towel, man. Wave the white flag. Go get those guys out of the game. So, by the way, Nashville Predators radio voice Pete Weber is taking some time off. He has been diagnosed with a brain disorder. This according to I think the team. In the interim, Max Herz, who has joined the network this season, he is going to do play-by-play for the Nashville Predators. So we wish Pete well, who has been the longtime radio voice of the Nashville Predators. He's the only play-by-player in the franchise's history. That goes back to 1998. So Pete Weber, there you go. All right, that'll do it for us. Phil, Mike, here on episode 31. Rate, review, subscribe, like, share, leave a comment, ask a question. We'll be back next week with more here on the Announcer Schedule Podcast. This has been episode number 31. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you next week right here on the Sports Media Watch feed on the Announcer Schedules Podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.